baseball and all things Northeast Ohio, and sometimes college football and other stuff too. You know him, you love him. He is a dear friend of the show. He's more than a super friend of the show.
He's the best friend of the show.
Yeah, you are. You're the best friend of the show.
He's the best friend of the show.
He is Brian Anderson. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, BA. How
are
you?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm really good. Are you kidding me? We're in town.
I know.
The weather is, I mean, you couldn't have better weather. So, and I think it's going to hold up through the weekend. So, I mean, what else could a guy want?
All right. Any truth to the fact that if the game goes a little bit sideways tonight, that you're going to go underneath through the tunnel and go through that secret door to go over to the arena, and you're going to go in and listen to Nicki Minaj rather than watch a baseball game?
There is zero chance of that happening.
Okay, I want to make sure. Any chance zero. You might sneak out and, I don't know, hop in a car and then go see Billy Joel during the game? Is that a possibility?
No, that will not happen either. Yeah. I will be very interested to see what downtown is like tonight, though, because the last time that I was in town, it was for SummerSlam. So,
that's right.
And yeah, so they had 60,000 people down at Huntington Bank Field. I guess.
Correct. Good job.
Well done.
First try.
God,
good
like
job.
A champ.
I got. Hey, listen. I've got a mortgage through Huntington Bank, so we're good.
Oh. Which
anyway.
One? The big house on the lake or your other house?
The one in Florida.
Okay, just making sure.
The one down in Florida. No. So there were 60,000 people there that night, and Cleveland had a home game against Baltimore. And, it was pretty busy. But there was nothing going on at the arena. So I'll be really interested to see, with all three, packed. I mean, get there early. Get there early. Traffic's going to be a nightmare.
It'll be fun. So let me just ask you this. Just in your time while you were playing here, because there were always things that were going on. I mean, whether, there were always concerts and things going on over at the arena, whether it was Gund Arena or, I don't even know, was it Quicken Loans when you were here or whatever. Did you ever sneak over after a game and go – try to get into a concert?
No.
Never?
No, I've never did that. Nope.
Wow. Are you sure you're from Cleveland?
100%.
All right.
Hey, listen, we had to get down to the Flats, man. That's where
that is true.
That's a good point.
And then you weren't
a good point.
I mean, think about the Flats back in the day. I mean, you could not move. You went down and you tried to get your way into the basement and you couldn't move. Elbow to elbow on both floors. It was incredible down there. Those were the heyday of the Flats down there, mid to late 90s, was off the chart.
Oh, I remember. Man, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun going down there. Oh, man. Yep. All right. What happened last night? It's almost like the Rays flipped the book on the Guardians where Tampa's bullpen was amazing last night. Amazing. And that's normally what the Guardians do.
Well, you're right. I mean, the Guardians have the best bullpen in baseball, and it's really not even close. I just had gone over the numbers. Their bullpen ERA is 2.74. The next closest in Major League Baseball is Milwaukee at 3.14. So they're almost a half a run better than anybody. So yes, that is they can hang their head on that for sure. But since the All-Star break, the Rays bullpen has the lowest ERA in baseball. So they've been pretty good all year, but since the All-Star break, a next level. So not surprising at all.
All right, BA. So I got to ask you, there's a lot of stuff that's floating all around the big picture MLB. The first one being ESPN releasing a story saying that a German company is going to have advertisements on the helmets of batters during the playoffs. What do you think hearing that?
I don't like it. Listen, that stuff is starting to infiltrate, all of these, listen, the Cleveland, they've got the marathon patch on the sleeve. Those were things that, like, back
just a reminder to everyone that says that every season, 1,000 times, that the baseball season is a marathon and not a sprint.
Yeah, well, it's in your sight lines all the time now.
The minute a player gets frustrated, they look down and go, oh, yeah, that's right. I do need gas. Yeah. All right, here we go.
Yeah. No, but I guarantee you they don't. No one comes to really good conclusions when things aren't going well when you're playing. But all that to say, a German company, that's strange. I don't know. That's really interesting why it would be a German company. And what would the German company be selling to baseball fans in the United States? That's interesting, number one. But
first thought would be beer. First thought would be beer, but that's okay.
So it's okay. Strauss, which is a clothing company that has found its way over here, athletic wear company.
Okay. Yeah. Or what? Listen, that stuff is happening now, and it's going to continue to happen. The fact that just look what has happened in sport. You know, when you start talking about, you know, conference realignment, why are they doing it? Money. Why would a German company be allowed to put decals on helmets during the playoffs? Money. If it's going to make money, it's going to be part of the game. And you either accept it and move on, or be the guy who's the only one that's upset about it, because it's going to be there. And you don't have to necessarily like it, but that's going to be the reality of it. If it makes money, they're going to do it.
And let's face it, baseball has been probably the biggest advocate of advertising with its game than any other sport. I mean, you just think about, you know, the bullpen itself, or, you know, the outfield walls, and anytime, mm-hmm. just go look at any old picture of any old ballpark, and how many Chesterfield ads did you see in the back?
The giant,
you
know? Marlboro signs all over the place, yeah.
So
that's what they put. They made baseball cards, advertising strikes out. Yeah. So yeah, that's part of the game, and that will continue. If they get the right dollar figure, they're going
to
do it.
And because sometimes you might get in trouble, you may have to go to like a blank mart and go buy a glove when you're going to take a picture for your baseball card, right?
Oh yeah, I was just telling that story the other day. it's funny. The autograph group in Philadelphia was pretty intense, and so we got into some conversations, and that card came up. And I go, funny story behind that card. And I told them the story, and they were like, get out of here. I'm like, yeah, what are the chances that that happens in a random spring training game? By the way, it was early in spring, or maybe midway through, because I think I was supposed to pitch 4 innings that day. So I was about halfway through my ramp up. So it's the middle of March, and that's the day that the guy from Topps is going to be out there taking a picture. Oh, and you're going to get it as my leg is raised, and you can see the shoe and the glove straight on into the camera, and both of the companies that I did not represent. Well, what are the chances?
All right, the second one, B.A., did you see the story about the kid in the single A game, the catcher who was then cut because he was tipping pitches to the opponent?
Yes.
That scares the heck out of me, B.A. I mean, like, that is, to me, we are getting closer and closer. And look, I don't think there's any affiliation. He's told sources that he just wanted the season to be over, hence the reason that he was doing it. But boy, man, that's getting to a position with all this legalized gambling that is scary.
Couldn't agree more. It's going to rear its ugly head. And the fact that these, all of these different leagues have gone all in on this gambling stuff, you know, promoting it, and, you know, there are going to be issues that pop up. His logic, though, by the way, doesn't make any sense to me, okay? If you just want the season to be over, then I'm assuming that you'd like quicker games and have it move on. If you're telling them what's coming, good chance that they're going to have a better chance for base hits, extra base hits. The games are going to last longer. So if that's your rationale, you're not only, not a real good guy, you're a moron. I mean, come on. That's not going to shorten the season. That's going to lengthen the game, which will lengthen the season.
You're 100% right. Hey, I was thinking about this the other day because I was looking at the series coming in, and, you know, the Guardians are, you know, pretty close to clinching a playoff spot here. To get that last wild card spot, the magic number 6, and the Rays are out of it. And I started thinking about expanded rosters, and I can't remember. Could you have 40? Could you have the whole 40-man up at the end? I can't remember. But
you used to be able to bring up anybody you want. That's why they did away with that.
Right. So now it's
benches that
2.
Full, like way full.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I'm wondering if you're like, for the Guardians, I totally understand it because you want to stay focused and you want to make sure everybody in the clubhouse is on the same page. But if you're the Rays and you're out of it, I mean, this was a great time to give young players that you thought might have a future with the franchise the opportunity to come up beyond just 2 guys. So now that we're a couple years away from that rule change, I'm just curious your thoughts on, was it good or bad to limit the number of players that you could bring up in September?
I don't have a problem with it. I really don't. During the course of the year, there is so much churn, with the Rays roster in particular. Mm-hmm. They go through so many players that the guys that you want to look at, you get a chance to take a look at. You do. You do during the course of the year. The number of players used in today's game, especially pitchers, It's incredible. It's incredible the churn during the course of the season. Just take a look at everybody that's gotten an AB or, you know, threw a pitch for Cleveland this year, and you would be astounded how long that list is. That's typical for every team. So those are the guys that you want to get a look at. I mean, are there a few others? Yeah, maybe, but I'm fine with the rule.
Just your thoughts on the rest of this. As you watch the Guardians now down the stretch run where, you know, it looks like they're in pretty good shape to get this. They're probably in pretty good shape to win the Central. I know it's not that big of a league, but your thoughts on the Guardians, where they are and how, you know, at least now they feels like they have a rotation where they're for a while there. It was TBA trying to figure things out. What do you think of them?
Yeah. Well, I think that they could be as dangerous as any team out there. I don't think that there are dominant teams out there from what I have seen. You know, when we are all, you know, traveling around and playing all these different teams, playing teams that are hot. We've talked about this many times.
Yeah.
You're just never overly impressed with, like, you're like, okay, that's a nice team. I've said that basically all season long. Yeah, it's a nice team. And so, so that to me means that if you get in to the tournament, you get into the playoffs, you've got a chance. I mean, that's just it. We saw it happen last year with Arizona, I don't know. You get in and you've got a chance. And the fact that you've got a starting rotation now that is intact and you feel is dangerous and you have the best bullpen in Major League Baseball, those are the two biggest things when it comes to the playoffs. Because most of those playoff games, it's about run prevention. You know, I mean, it really is. So they've got the pieces there. If their offense, and by the way, going through their offensive numbers, it is really the most middle of the road offense I've seen. They're like seventh, eighth, or ninth in every meaningful category. It's pretty incredible. So but you can also get hot. You can have a hot streak and be able to put some things together. And if they're able to do that with that pitching staff. Especially the bullpen, man. I mean, that's what closes those games down. You get an early lead, and all of a sudden you've got the horses to come in and lock it down, and you have the preeminent horse at the end, Class A. I mean, you know what you're going to see. He's 80% cutter, 20% slider. The cutter's 100 miles an hour, and he doesn't walk anybody. He doesn't give up the long ball, and he doesn't, he limits base runners. That he's got it all, and a ton of ground balls. He's got a 60% ground ball rate. He's walked 8 guys in 67 and a third innings. He's given up 2 home runs and throws 100. That is the formula for ending a game in a pretty quick manner. So they've got all the pieces. There's no question that they could be a dangerous team because of that pitching.
All right, let me throw this one at you, because especially when you've got young guys on a roster, and it might not even necessarily be young guys, guys who have the opportunity to get some deep playoff experience. Like, what's the most important thing that you need to know down the stretch here? Like, if you were looking at a young player saying, hey, you know, this is great. We're going to get our – I'm really excited about the playoffs, blah, 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 blah. What's the most important advice you could give a player in that situation? And by the way, has it really been 23 years since you were on that World Series championship team?
Yes, it has. It has absolutely flown by. The best advice that I got when I was, in my first playoff ever, which was, you know, Cleveland 97, the Baltimore LCS series.
Yeah.
Was listen, just Eric Plunk was like, I told him, I said I hadn't pitched out of the pen very much at all, and so as I'm sitting out there in the pen, and Mike Hargrove had just told me earlier that day, I don't know how I'm going to use you, just be ready from the first pitch. I was exhausted by the third or fourth inning, just the playoffs, the hype, the vibe within the stadium, how exciting everything was. I mean, I was exhausted. I remember telling Plunk, I'm like, how do you guys do this for 162 games? And he goes, he laughed. He goes, look, you'll find a routine. You'll get a feel for how they're going to use you, and you will be fine. And the one thing that I learned on my own, and I actually got into game one of that series, which was, it turned out to be pretty important, the fact that I got out there, because what I realized, and I wasn't told, is when I got out there, even though you had all the pomp and circumstance for batting practice, you had a full stadium of a really raucous crowd, the playoffs, you understand what's at stake and how big these moments are, when you went out there, I got on the mound and I threw my warm-up pitches and the hitter stepped in, I was like, it's just baseball. It's the same game. So block all that other stuff and let's go. Let's play ball. And I was able to recognize that in my first outing, and I think that's what allowed me to settle in. And then by the end of that run, you know, Grover was using me in really high leverage situations. And, you know, I was able to perform because the moment didn't get too big, but I realized that first game that I got into, I'm like, oh, this is just baseball, you know, where I think other guys, maybe they make it too big. I mean, I've told you that story before where Tony LaCava, who was the cross checker for the Angels, he ended up becoming, last I knew, he was the assistant GM in Toronto. I know he's not there now. I'm not sure where he's at, but I remember him telling me after our game, you know, those guys would, you know, come into town and you know, scout your games, and you would get to know them over the course of the season. And we were talking after one of the games, and he said, you know, not everybody can play in October. And I didn't say anything back to him, but I thought to myself, what does that mean? Like, you know, baseball is baseball. October, June, January, what do you mean not everybody can play in October? When I got activated for that series in Baltimore and I went out for batting practice, those words came flooding back to me. It was 4 years later. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I get it now. Because everything is bigger. Everything is bigger. Batting practice in the regular season is a necessary evil. Batting practice in the playoffs is an event. Media everywhere. Fans in the stand. There's a buzz.
It's electricity.
Different. It's different. And not everybody can perform. You know, the stage is bigger. The lights are brighter. And some guys thrive in that environment, and other guys shrivel up in it. And that's a fact. Hmm. And so when he said that, BP game one, ALCS 97 against Baltimore, in Baltimore, I'm like, I get what he meant now, because this is different. It's different. Now, for me, once I got, like I said, in the game, on the mound, I'm like, no, this isn't different. This is baseball. Let's go. But I understood what he meant.
And now we do too. Thank you, BA. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend here at home, and hopefully we'll talk to you next week.
You're the man, dude. Talk soon.
Good. See you, boys.
All right. He is Brian Anderson, Pride of Geneva. He actually gets to come home for the weekend, so we're excited to talk to him. And he'll call the games for Rays TV over the weekend as well. All right, let's do a 2020.